vile Satan.
What do you mean this is what you wanted?
What have you done to me?
We read the room, baby. You said the Punisher. We said,
not to the point of killing this body. You will join me in the darkness of oblivion. You treacherous insect.
What do you mean? What is he mean for? How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to Pixelated Thoughts. On this episode, it's just going to be me, Chibi, and Brad. Jack, unfortunately, is going to sit this one out because he has never played Baldur's Gate 3, and that's what we're going to talk about. This is the game that Brad was meant for. Look at him. He's wearing a...
He looks like Zoidberg.
So actually
he wanted to be a mind flayer, but he's Zoidberg instead.
so last I think it was like 2 years ago, I was going to be Zoidberg, but I couldn't find a shirt that I didn't have, like a doctor shirt.
Oh, I thought it was just gonna be like a blue V-neck or whatever, and then you're...
but I did have a white frilly shirt from, I don't know, probably like 8 years ago. I went as a pirate, so I was like,
you would go,
you know what? So yeah, what I did was I grabbed an oven mitt. I wore that shirt, and I was Davy Jones from the, you know. You know, I was like, it's close enough.
That is the most low rent shit I've ever.
Oh, you did. It was delicious.
So we're gonna talk about Baldur's Gate 3. We're gonna try to be as spoiler free as possible.
Absolutely well, not.
Brad generally has like notes and stuff like that. Brad's in Act 3. I'm in Act. We all just got in Act 3. Me and Brad. I don't know how far you're achieving. Were you Act 2 still?
Yeah, I finally got to Act 2. I'm like probably a fourth of the way in.
Right. And how many runs have you done so far? How many characters have you created?
Well, technically 3, but this has been the furthest one I've gotten. Okay. The other two I'm playing with people, and we just haven't played. But by myself, I think this is the furthest I've gotten.
Okay. Yeah. I think I'm in Act 2 by myself. I'm just trying to take it as slow and less chaotic than the shit that we were doing, because we skipped out on so much content. So, Chibi, what's your general impressions of Baldur's Gate 3?
I really enjoyed it. I at first thought I wouldn't, just because of the way it initially looked. So, like, I've told you, but like, I'm a big fan of like the Dragon Age series, especially like 2 and Inquisition. I feel like the camera, like, I don't know how to describe it, the camera scene, the camera angle is like different than like Dragon Age 1 and then Baldur's Gate. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it wasn't like my cup of tea, but then when I actually started playing it, I was like, okay, this isn't too bad. I enjoy the D&D aspect a lot of it. Like, I've never had a game where it's just like, yeah, roll for fucking deception. Like, it's really cool to see it as somebody who likes D&D. So I really appreciate that aspect as well. So overall, I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I like the characters as well. I feel like... most of them are very likable, and I enjoy in my party.
Most are pretty well written. Brad, this is the game meant for you, man. We've been talking about this for a while. Went to early access, what, 2019? The first act was available.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So when Larian had first announced it, I think it was pretty surprising too, because it was like within 6 months of their announcement that early access opened, and Act 1 was all available. There have been some updates and changes over the years, but like for 20 hours of content right then and there, I think a lot of people were hooked. You had to pay full price to get early access, but it's well worth it because of just how much content you get. Brad, what's been, you know, I mean, I know it's your game of the year, dude. You can just tell me, like, how much do you love Baldur's Gate 3?
Okay, so I'm going to preface it with, I do have about 100 or 230 hours in the game.
Yeah.
I have characters.
When we're not doing stuff, I can like, I'm like recording a video, and then I'll see Brad pop up and it'll be like, he's playing Baldur's Gate 3. I'm like, of course.
Honestly, that's been me. Like whenever I have free time, I'm just like, I really want to play Baldur's Gate right now.
So my main playthrough, I thought I was trying to actually beat it this weekend, and it just kept, Oh, there's another storyline. Because I'm assuming I'm at the end. I was just adventuring a little bit, and every 45 minutes started something completely new with another side character. So there is a reason why I really like D&D. There is a certain freedom that D&D has that you don't get with video games or board games, right? D&D has this element of there is no restraints, just you're limited by your creativity, by your, you know, imagination.
Right.
So it's, I mean, it's video games on crack, essentially, right? If you find compatible players, the possibilities are limitless. Baldur's Gate incorporates that as well as any video game I've ever seen, right? I mean, I think there's like 17,000
endings, supposedly.
Technically,
that's crazy.
Instant deaths, or versions of an ending, or whatever. And I've probably seen, I don't know, 15 of them.
Right.
So it's crazy, just the actual content that's in the game, right? And it's not even a full priced game. And
yeah, it's not bad.
And the fact that there is hundreds of hours worth of content, mm-hmm. and you could theoretically play through the game with every class, with every
character,
race, with every race, with every backstory, separately, like you could do every combination, and still have, a unique experience to some degree. Mm-hmm. For hundreds of hours, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Bothers me. I have one really, really long
stream. It's awkward.
Kidding.
Yeah. So Cheapy, I'm assuming you're not familiar with Larian Studios, right? Nope. They're the developers. So they made Divinity, mm-hmm. Original Sin. What's the other one they made, Brad?
I played number two of that a little bit.
Did they do Pillars of Eternity?
I think they did. But they've been in the space kind of cooking for so long, especially with like Divinity Original Sin 2. I remember when that first came out, a lot of people were super impressed by what they had created. It's a lot smaller in scale than Baldur's Gate 3. Mm-hmm. There are speed runs I think I've seen of like Divinity that you could see in like 20 minutes or something like that. It's pretty wild. But like, so when they were announced to make Baldur's Gate 3, I was like, they're an independent studio, yet the quality of it, like even in like the early stages, was far beyond anything I've seen, honestly, from like an independent studio. Like, I know I saw there was like a bit of a controversy where certain people were demanding that AAA games come out polished and stuff like that, but like Baldur's Gate 3 is kind of in a league of its own. I don't mm-hmm. know many games that have come out that are as polished and as content complete. You really don't need DLC for this game, because like Brad said, like we've gone through, well, each of us have gone through different runs and probably experienced different things. And we're just like, the fuck is this? like me getting my first playthrough, I got the owlbear and the dog on the first playthrough.
There's a dog?
Yeah, there's a dog you can find. Yes. Scratch.
Scratch.
Yep.
Where?
He's in the first area in Act 1.
Above the owlbear cave. We'll just say that.
Yeah, he's above
the owlbear cave. Bro, I missed the dog?
Yep. You can get Scratch.
Oh, I got the owlbear, but I didn't get the dog.
And it's actually very easy to not get him. If you run into him, if you say the wrong things, he will attack you and you murder the dog.
Yeah.
And then you die just from guilt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane because there's so much content here, and I kind of expected there to be, some type of step down eventually. Especially between like what Act 1 does, like the way it like immerses you in the world. Mm-hmm. It has probably one of the best introductions, mm-hmm. in any RPG or in any game, because you're just kind of thrown into this shit. And then after that, you're just kind of doing stuff. And like the kind of reveal in Act 2, when we just finished it, we have a video out for right now. I was very upset when I was like, nah, dude. And that was like, so it was interesting. Like I thought making content for like Baldur's Gate would be difficult, because it kind of is. Mm-hmm. Because, when you're showing playthroughs, like when you play with certain people, like fucking Brad, who has to think about every, like, everything.
Possible.
Every possible mm-hmm. outcome for his action. I'm just like, dude, we gotta keep moving. It was surprising that I was able to show, like, our entire, like, boss fight that we had went through. Because Brad actually made quick decisions, which was shocking. Like, he didn't, like, waste time. Like,
who are you?
And I was controlling a second player, too.
And he was controlling a second character, which is very shocking.
Okay.
But I look at like, so my question is, should this type of, is this expected? Should this be expected, this type of content from, you know, AAA studios, should we expect them to release these like massive monolithic type of games, or should we just be like, look, Baldur's Gate 3 is kind of on its own by itself? You know what I mean? Brad, what do you think? Do you think like people should try to replicate what Baldur's Gate 3 did?
I mean, well, should they? Yeah, absolutely. But once again, there are no microtransactions. There are no DLC items. You know, you can buy the deluxe edition, right?
Right.
You come with some cosmetics, but, you know, for a AAA, you know, for EA to do this, right, there would have to be a season mode or, you know, something stupid like that. It would be that.
Diablo.
Right. It would literally be Diablo with an actual good story. So I mean, people so much underestimated what Baldur's Gate 3 was going to be. I mean, even the leaked documents from Microsoft said they were completely ignoring it, or, you know, that they did not expect it to do anything.
Even after Divinity 2, which is crazy because Divinity 2 is a fantastic, like, that's a content complete game. There's a shit ton of content in that game.
If I'm not mistaken, it was kind of released kind of quietly, but it gained a following, right? It took a little while, but
it gained a cult following really quick.
Yeah. But yeah, it, once again, there's complete voice acting for everyone. There are
so fucking stupid.
You know, dumb, dude. Like, there's so much voice acting. There's so many stories. You know, if someone dies in some certain scenarios, like, other people from the story take that person's place. Yeah, you know,
there's
as
no
a
real game over unless we did the shit that we did, Brad.
Like, yeah.
No, what did you guys do?
Right. Oh, what did we do? So in the video, we were like,
because I try not to watch all of it just to not.
I'm not.
It for
I'm,
myself,
oh, then
but...
we'd
no,
spoil it.
No, you're fine. Okay. I mean, it's okay. I don't care. It's
big
fine.
Spoiler right here. So we found spoiler who the alert, we found videos. We found who the dreamer was. Right, mm-hmm. What their real identity was,
mm-hmm.
And we decided to kill the dreamer because we thought it was a betrayal. But it was it was like a thing where, like, fuck this character. We went through this crazy fight. We got our ass kicked. Brad made a crazy decision to like fully embrace like the mind flayer mode, which made his character intensely creepy looking. Like,
ooh.
I'm working on editing the next episode, and I was like, holy shit, what the fuck is wrong with this dude's face? And we thought that the dreamer would fight back,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't. They were just like, don't stop doing that. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not your enemy. And we're just like, shoot, we're just shit talking.
You're like,
and
shut the fuck up.
And then we killed it. And we're like, oh, and then a cutscene happens. And then the Absolute shows up. And then it turns the main character of the story, which was Brad's character, mm-hmm. into a mind flayer. And then it game's Jesus. Over. And that's where I ended the video. God. I was like,
yeah.
But
that's actually funny.
Yeah, the entire what's crazy is that characters can die, like, you know, because the thing is in traditional RPGs, JRPGs, you die, that's the end,
mm-hmm.
right? A character gets killed, you know, we're moving on. But in, like, D&D, if a character dies, like, that doesn't mean the campaign stops.
Mm-hmm.
So they pretty much like brought that over, but their scripts are so long. Like, they have, like, I can't remember who showed it, but it was on social media. They showed like their like just the romance scripts were like fucking pages upon pages upon pages stacked upon each other and stuff like that. And so when characters get killed, like we lost Shadowheart in our playthrough. Yeah, we fucked up and lost
Shadowheart.
How the
hell did you do that?
Act two. We lost. Oh. We like literally. She didn't die. We just lost her because of a decision.
She got real angry.
Yeah,
she got real angry.
She got real angry. I think she'd leave me. That trick. Anyway.
She left. I haven't heard that word in so long. Oh my God.
So, we were like, holy shit, she's gone. And like, they just, you just go about your business, right? Things just happen. And then
you do get a new weapon though. That's a consolation.
A new weapon has a consolation.
Bye, Shadowheart. Thanks for the weapon.
But yeah, no, things just like every decision you make kind of matters. And like, what's great is that like, mm-hmm. even with failure, like there's still, you know, you can still find success in it. What was super funny is that we had a battle with Kethrick, who's like the big second act boss. Mm-hmm. And Brad had persuaded him the first time. I was like, oh, and you had to roll like nat 20s to get it too, which was like,
oh,
super
God.
Rare.
Yeah.
Like, it was like two back-to-back nat 20s, right? And we're like, oh,
yeah, I needed like 18s times in a row.
But the character we freed was straight up like, he's not going to surrender. He wants fucking war. And then he's like, that's right. I don't need to surrender to you. I was like, come on, bro. Oh my God. You gave up, man.
And you blocked our progress.
And so you can also persuade or deceive, like major boss. We had another major boss fight where we skipped the entire first phase of the fight.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So what Larian did is essentially what I think a lot of us dream of when we play certain RPGs. We're like, can we just talk it out? You know, when you mm-hmm. play like a Bethesda game or, you know, whatever its equivalent is, like sometimes like I really like playing like a charismatic, stealthy character, like a spy. And I just want to talk mm-hmm. through shit. And being able to do it, and even if you fail, you get like multiple opportunities to do it.
Mm-hmm, like so the rerolls. Yeah.
So it's super fun. It's just like, but when you see like Brad, I've never seen him more giddy when he plays this game. Like when he tries to trick me into doing shit or whatever. And I'm like, Brad, I know what you're doing, bro. Like you can trick Brandon, you know, but I don't think there is, but I think it's unrealistic for the game community to expect more games like Baldur's Gate 3 because
yeah, it's a lot. I feel like
I spoke about this with Chris. We talked about game development, like game development now is like 6 years long.
Yeah.
Right. Realistically, if you don't want games to come out with patches or, you know, essentially early access, then that's what you're getting. And even like the patches they release, like it's really funny. Like the cat from The Last Light Inn is it the Tiny Emperor? Is that what the cat's name is? I think Brad from The Last Light Inn. So that cat apparently in like one of the patch updates had like they gave it hair, and people complained. So that up in the new update they took the hair away and shit like that again. Yeah, I just, you know, content complete games are super rare, and I think that's why Baldur's Gate 3 is getting a lot of love. But beyond that, there is like real freedom of like how you handle every single encounter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I assume there are some games that I feel like really missed the mark. There's a game called Deathloop. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, Chibi. It's on Game Pass.
Mm-mm.
Basically, in Deathloop, you are pretty much reliving the same day over and over again, like Groundhog's Day. As you mm-hmm. are trying to figure out like how to essentially kill certain targets, and then what you want to do essentially is kind of funnel them all into one area or to kill them all during one loop, right? So as you're making your way throughout the game, you'll find clues and stuff like that. That game was fantastic until you got to the end, in which you had to like, there was like no other there's no other options. So pretty much it's like it funneled you to one definitive ending. Because the entire time you could do whatever you wanted, and then you can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. So I was like, that's kind of disappointing. I still enjoy the game.
Yeah.
But like with Baldur's Gate 3, it's like you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Mm-hmm.
You have like different runs. You know, you have different playthroughs. You can be like flat out evil. Mm-hmm. You don't have to fuck. You can kill the entire grove in the beginning, right? I just, you know, I know Brad wants to do it, but I'm like, I don't know. I don't know how I'd feel about being the bad guy the entire time. Even if I want like Mynthra as like a recruitable character, which you remember, you because you're in Act 2 now, right? You remember Mynthra? Mm-hmm. Remember when she was the Dark Elf, Brad?
Yeah, she was a drow. She in the Goblin camp. She was one of the leaders
that kill Halsey.
Yeah.
She's recruitable.
Oh shit!
In the Dirge Run, yeah.
Oh.
I think you can actually get her without it too, but you have to pretty much sacrifice the grove.
Yeah, you have to. You lose a lot of companions in the process, but you can gain her in a normal run.
Bless you. Oh my god!
I've been sneezing all day today. I don't know why.
Oh, I mean, part of it's got to be the fucking mask you got.
More than likely.
Yeah, just itching you. There he goes. See, when I sneeze like 8 times, and people judge me. They're like, damn, you good? I'm like, no, I'm sneezing.
I'm dying.
Slowly. What the fuck was that? That man's headphones just fucking flew off. Hello.
I fucking hate this man.
I don't know if that was on purpose or
kind of. I bit my tongue very badly.
Oh, are you okay?
But luckily, y'all can't see me crying right now.
Actually, we can. We can see the tears.
I see it.
He's about to wipe. He's gonna, dude, do it off screen in case you're bleeding, dude. Oh,
wait. What the fuck? Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
Oh my god.
Just getting some of the moisture out.
Oh god. I told you. That's definitely how that works, man. So, like your experience with like, because this is, you haven't played like I would say a game like this since like Dragon Age, right?
Yeah. Mm-mm.
So is this, how, because you talk about how you know you want to go back to it, you want to play it casually and stuff like that. Like, you know, is this the first game in a long time that's made you feel like excited to, you know, play like an RPG?
Yeah, no, because there's not a lot that like I hyperfixate on, because you know now I play a lot of FPS games. So honestly, the last like RPG-ish game was Inquisition. Right. So yeah, I really enjoy it. Like it's fun. Like sometimes I stream it, because I usually don't stream like story-based games or like RPG games, just because like it's not what people that follow me usually watch. Mm-hmm. But I liked it so much, I said, fuck it, I'm just going to stream it. I mean, that's how you know how much I like it. So it's, yeah,
it's scary good. Brad, do you have like
for making me play it?
I mean, we recommended it. I was like, you know, maybe she will play, maybe she will. And she's like, yeah, I just been running through different campaigns. I'm like, Jesus. Brad, is there anything about Baldur's Gate 3 that you want to see changed or updated?
No. With how open, I'm going to say how open ended it is, right? Definitely some type of like campaign editor or type of scenario builder. Definitely expanding out to level 20.
Yeah, more content.
You know, I mean, once again, they fleshed out 1 through 12 so well, you know. I'm not mad. I'm not saying it should be to level 20, because once you start getting into like level 17 ish, like a lot of the mechanics kind of break. Like it doesn't transition well into video game type stuff. Oh. Right? You hit level 17 to 20, you start becoming the end boss.
Oh. Right? You're not the bad guy.
Yeah, you are. You're not part of the main party anymore at that point.
What's that saying? It's like, I got there. It's like you live long, or like you die either a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Yeah. Yeah, that's what that is. Yeah.
The Dark Knight.
That's actually, actually what I do with a lot of campaigns, right? If a player becomes too powerful, you know, I tell them, hey, you're either going to die some crazy death or you're going to be.
I'm going to stab you.
Yeah, it's like I'm either killing this character off or they're becoming like a demigod or a lich type thing, right? Right. You're going to become some type of non-player entity that I'm going to take control of. So good luck with that.
Damn.
Right.
I do. Just agree, because.
Like, damn. Okay.
But I think like the amount of flexibility with your characters and stuff like that is pretty cool. Like the introduction, like when you start to, what level is it, like 5 or 6, when you have like a second, pretty much secondary ability, secondary classes and stuff like that, create like, you know, some crazy combination of stuff, like a paladin, was it barbarian or some shit? It's like, Jesus Christ, what the fuck are we doing here, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Like, my whole job has been to keep Brad and fucking Brandon alive the entire time, because they just like, they put themselves into the fire a lot.
And you're like, please stop.
Dude, every time, man. Every time. Like, we had a thing where Brandon, like, straight up jumped in. And he's like, yeah, man. And he proceeded, like, there was, like, this Gibyaki monk who beat the shit out of him. And I was like, yeah, so how was jumping in? He's like, didn't go well. I was like, oh, shit, Sherlock. Like, I was like, I'm not going to die. I'm going to cast Sanctuary on myself. You can go away.
He said he revives me all the time. What characters do you guys play? I forget. I know you've told me, but in your playthrough together.
Right now, like a cleric and mm-hmm. a what the fuck else is it?
Nice. Good talk.
Brad, what are you?
I'm a warlock, right? Yeah. Eldritch Blast all day. That's just that's always true. I'm not gonna lie,
same though.
Yeah,
same.
I love warlocks. Actually, most of my playthroughs, about half of my playthroughs, are with warlocks.
You were sorcerers at first.
Yeah, yeah. So we did both start off as
magic sorcerers. Did not work out, dude.
Yeah,
we were getting upset because we were like, dude, we're getting fucking killed here.
We're in the middle of a fight, and I would just polymorph into a sheep.
What the fuck?
Oh yeah,
I'd be so mad. I'd be like, kill the fucking sheep, bro.
Or we'd have like just random explosions and shit like that, burning us. I'm like, dude, what the fuck did we do? So we kind of went like with more base characters. Like, I'm a cleric, but you know, I'm like more of a battle cleric. Mm-hmm. But I can't fight because I'm fucking trying to save people the entire
time. Well, to be fair, Brandon's a barbarian. He's supposed to be your tank.
Dude, Brandon's really funny because he's really good at being a barbarian. I don't know if, like, if I put him as anything else, I'd be afraid for his life the entire time. Because every time we're, like, in Discord Brandon's chatting, like,
I'm getting in there.
And he's picking, like, a different character or whatever, and I'm like, you can hear him, like, he's like, man, I don't know how to kill this person. I'm like, oh my god, bro. Because in my other games, I'm, like, a warlock fucking, like, sorcerer, so I'm just kind of nuking people and shit, you know, but it's so fun. I'm like, Christ, man, we may need like, if we didn't lose Shadowheart, we would have had like two of us.
I still, I'm just like, how the fuck did you lose Shadowheart? That's so funny.
There are decisions in this game that you can make that you don't know you're making that the game kind of hints at too. They're like, hey, do you think you should be doing this? And it's like, yeah.
There's a moment in Act 1 where I know with the Vampire Hunter. I saw spoilers about that. You can get rid of a Asterion. And I was like,
You can literally get, like, either not meet or kill the character, yeah, everyone you meet.
That's crazy.
Really, I think Gil's the only person that you can't perma kill.
No.
Because the game just ends if you do. But pretty much everyone else you can.
You killed Lazelle, Brad, in one of your.
I forgot. Yeah, huh? I never think of Lazelle. So
I do.
How did you do that?
I have a whole mission. I completed a whole mission through Act 2. I was going through the mountain pass, and I went back to go fight the Githyanki. Right, killed all of them, and then like I didn't use Lazelle for shit, and so I came back, and she's like, "Man, like all this, because you know all this stuff had happened," and I was like, "Yeah." And then, like, some random Githyanki dude showed up. I'm like, am I going to have to kill you? But it was, like, her whole storyline. I was like, who the fuck is that dude?
You're like, we killed your whole camp.
He's like, yeah, you know, what we've been doing the entire time has been wrong. I'm like, looked at her. I was like, bitch, you've been trying to tell me.
Oh, that moment. Yeah.
You've been trying to tell me you're fucking God, who I almost fought for you. I was like, what the fuck, lady? Yeah, I've never used her. I don't know why.
I like Karlach better.
Yeah.
So I actually, in my main playthrough, I respect Karlach into a fighter, and she just goes ham.
Damn.
You also made Asterion your main DPS dealer.
Yeah. So I.
Rogue Ranger.
Yeah, I'm level 11.
Ungodly damage.
In my main campaign, and I consistently do at least 40 damage consistently with Asterion every round.
What the fuck? As long as
he is above other people, like as long as I can find somewhere for him to be above, like he's a 90 percentile.
No, this man will put a barrel there and have his little ass jump on top of it to just get like, advantage of shooting down peasants.
Bro, I'm gonna have to look all this up.
And then Karlach, she's just super consistent, but just not the high DPS that Asterion does. But she has a polearm, so she has extra reach. Mm-hmm. She has Sentinel and she has Polearm Master, so she gets to take reactions when people come within range, not when trying to leave range, which is nice.
That's pretty sick.
But in Act 3, a lot of combat, like. So in my main campaign, I actually have a broken character. So the main character, I put all of his stats at level 18. Mm-hmm. Not trying to make the game easier. I just wanted to play through all of the story. Like
I gave him so much shit for that. I made him feel so bad all the time. I'm like, oh, so you're cheating? Because he like showed me. Thing. I was like, oh, so you're cheating? Yeah. Right? You said you want to play the game for real? You're one of those modded kids who's like, I need this, bro.
I play the game for the story.
I need it to be easy. Yeah. It's not like this dude.
Right. So I wasn't trying to like absolutely break, you know, I didn't want all of my characters just to be OP. I wanted my character to be OP so I could have any discussion with any person and roll decently well.
Yeah.
And then in Act 3, you can break your character even more with some other stuff that we won't talk about. But and also if you do want to experience like all of the story, Bard is the way to go because they have.
Yeah, I'm a Bard. It's so fun. Yeah.
Just because they have the additional proficiency, you get half proficiency if you're not proficient.
Yeah.
Just so you get a lot more just love additional
you get to be Chris Pine.
Numbers. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm a bard in my main campaign, and let me say it's so fun. I've never been a bard, but I fell in love with being a bard. It's great.
One of the most versatile characters. You know, they're like the limitless caster. They pretty much almost every caster has a limited pool of magic. The bards are kind of the one exception. They can just have any magic from any discipline. Mm-hmm. They usually can't cast the highest level magic, and they can't cast a lot of the magic. Like they don't have, you know, 50 spell slots like wizards mm-hmm. do, but as far as like just making a all around character, Bard is definitely a viable character.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy it a lot.
Chief, is there anything like you don't like about Baldur's Gate 3? As someone who's kind of like, I would say like, you know, you don't play as many RPGs because you're, you know, your biggest, listen, you play Persona. Those games are great. You love Dragon Age, that type of stuff. But it's been a while since you played like, you know, just a normal RPG.
Yeah. Right? I'm really trying to think. Honestly, I really don't have any complaints about it. I feel like it's pretty solid all around. I don't find myself like rage quitting. Like if I can't beat a boss, I just literally will sit there and just contemplate for a second. Like I'll just reload. And I'm able to beat it if I can't be the first time within the second, just by thinking. So that's what
just push them off a cliff. That's
yeah, essentially.
True. Just not,
that's 90% of our.
We spent a good amount of time. Like when we were trying to kill Mynthra, we're like, what do we mm-hmm. do? And so we killed everyone around her so they couldn't like mm-hmm. alert anybody.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then we're like, all right, cool. So we just like pushed her down a fucking the little cavern. Like I
but
did.
But couldn't. But don't you need. Down. No. Were you able to get her shit?
No, you could. We pushed her. I pushed her the first time. She was like, "Hey, stop that!" And I was like, "No." It's just,
went down. That's the one. That's the one downside of insta killing people is you don't get any of the loot. But
oh yeah, no, sorry, I liked her loot. It was good. Yeah.
You know, if you're struggling, listen.
Nah, I'm gonna beat it. I'm gonna get the loot. If I struggle that much, I'm gonna get the fucking loot.
One ability just sends all of them flying. It's very funny though doing it because like she's like this really uber powerful character, and you're just like bye,
and you just fucking bye.
Have a nice time.
One then the Cambion dude right next to her, we just dropped a bunch of barrels and yeeted him off a cliff too.
Yeah,
that was pretty
like,
funny.
We're like, hey, just put like we're gonna put the barrels right to the left of him. And then just shoot him off into the abyss, to the chasm.
The fuck.
I mean, it's just interesting the way you can like handle certain bosses because you know, like mm-hmm. in most games, like when you get into a boss fight, like dude, you're fucking.
It's only one way. Yeah.
Right. There's like you know you can take some high ground type stuff like an Inquisition when you're fighting a dragon, like you can you know surround it. In Baldur's Gate 3, they're like, yeah, nah, fuck that. You can't talk that dragon down. Listen. You can get up. You can push into that chasm. But what about the wings? What about it, bro? Like, it's like a new shit when it falls down.
Yeah, I will say I like it because I'm used to just like you know, kind of like Brandon just jumping in, just ready to fucking fight. But I like that this game gives you options to talk it out, to be sneaky, like do other things, and that's what I'm kind of learning how to do. Is like fighting isn't the only option. Even though it's a fun option, it's not the only one.
Yeah, earlier recordings that we had was like Brandon getting in fucking trouble. Like I'm trying to explore a certain area and I'm like jumping across like deep exploration type stuff, like platforming. And then I'll hear Brad be like, oh man, shouldn't have. I was like, what the heck? What did I do? And I'm like, dude, you talk to this animal, piss the animal off. Now everyone's attacking you. And then like, by the time I get there, they're all dead. I'm like, what did you guys do? How did this happen?
You're like, why?
You're the one that killed a squirrel, okay?
I did.
How the fuck are you gonna kill a squirrel?
First off, hold on. So the squirrel comes up, bites me, and mm-hmm, I'm like,
as he should.
I was like, I'm gonna kick it, and I was thinking like, I'm gonna kick it and shoo it away, and he like punted that shit. And I was like, that is amazing.
Into a tree.
And first off, I'm not the bad guy. When Brad, we're up watching this girl play her lute, talk about her dead master. She's super sad.
Oh.
And Brad goes, give me that shit, and then smashes it. And I'm like, bro, what?
Oh my God. Okay. At least I had the audacity to sneak and steal her shit.
Okay, in my defense, the text said nothing about smashing her loot. Okay?
Exactly.
It was literally
when
just.
When it said kick, I thought like kick away, not kick it to oblivion. When it was really, what's really funny is that when they have the animation of you taking the loot, he like takes loot and looks at her in disgust and then fucking smashes it and shit. I'm like, my
God, damn.
Yeah. So when you're evil in Baldur's Gate 3, like you're really fucking evil. Like, there's a commitment to it. And it's like, it's humorous because, you know, it shouldn't have to be, but there's far, I feel like this is the type of game, like Brad has 240 hours into it. He's only in Act 3, right? I mean, there's so much content here. Like, you could speedrun this game absolutely in like 20 to 40 hours. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
what's the fun in that?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure you could speedrun it in like
way quicker.
6 hours.
Yeah. We could probably look it up. I'll probably watch it tonight, like a speedrun of this game, because I love watching speedruns. I love watching people break games. I think it's the coolest thing. Where I'm like, that's something like I would have never thought of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially like Dark Souls games. Like, I love watching how like they get through certain fights. I'm like, holy shit, I would never thought of that.
Yeah.
Because in the moment, I'm panicking half the time.
Mm-hmm.
But like with Baldur's Gate 3, it's like, well, how do we get across? Like, what was the act one, right? It was like 20 minutes, right? Or under that. When they were doing the, when it first came out, there was like a speed run.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, they completed like 20 minutes like pretty much jumping through certain areas.
Yeah, they're literally just hopping across maps and then into a boat. And that was the end of the demo.
So the demo.
They were literally just hopping across things, talking to people, hopping across things.
Oh, shit.
Cast magic so you can jump farther and then just hop it there across things.
It's crazy because, like, this year has seen, like, it's been a really great year for games. It's a lot of, like, game of the year contenders. And, like, someone had talked to me recently and they were like, what do you think it is? I'm like, it's either Baldur's Gate 3 or Tears of the Kingdom. Because
Dave the Diver.
What's that?
Dave the Diver.
True. True. He's like the black horse.
I'm still playing
the dark horse. I'm sorry. But with Baldur's Gate 3, it's like in Tears of the Kingdom, you have like complete freedom in that game to tackle objectives. Anyway, there's like, it feels like everything feels organic, right? Player control, that type of stuff. I don't, you know, it's weird to see that like twice in a year. Usually it's like once every couple years, there's a game that comes out. Mm-hmm. People are like, holy shit, this is amazing. And then this year people are like, what the fuck, dude? Tears of the Kingdom was, you know, a phenomenon. Only Nintendo, as Chris said, like in the game development episode, only Nintendo could pull that shit off, really. And I think like with Baldur's Gate 3, I think only Larian Studios can do it. I don't think there's anybody else. Like, I think people would do their best, but I think they take shortcuts. Like Cyberpunk 2077 had like all the potential in the world to be like one of the best RPGs of all time, and then there's too many corners cut. And even though Phantom Liberty, I think, is fantastic, if you love spy thrillers, Phantom Liberty, Cyberpunk 2077, that game is amazing. But Baldur's Gate 3 is like, I have not seen quality like that, especially like on all levels. Like the visuals are great, which is, you know, usually there's like give and take. Like the visuals are usually like, okay, it's an independent studio. Like this is like some of the best visuals I've seen in terms of character models, details on characters and shit. Like, I think we had like fun, Brad. What was it with who was that little demon who was like messing? Who's like, or that large demon who was like talking to Raphael? He had like this massive crossbow and this little small bolt in it. Yeah. Brad was like, look how small that bolt is in that crossbow. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a game nail it in all three levels. Right, like its presentation is fantastic. The music is great. Voice acting, every character is well written. Right. They're likable or they're unlikable.
For some reason, except for Halsin, I don't know what they did with Halsin, but his actual voice acting is like so random. Like he'll be very clear, and then he'll just be like this, and I don't know. And then the next line will just be perfectly fine again, and then he'll go down here, and then he'll sound like this, and then he'll be happy again. I'm just like, what is going on with this dude?
Are you okay, Halsin? Do you need anything?
You know, I wonder how long it took the voice actors to record every single line.
Well, I mean, like, every characters are expressive, right?
Yeah.
It's not like some static, like somebody's just talking and they're just like this the entire time, you know? Mm-hmm. Like they're wooden, like some of the Starfield, you know, there's like, if you play Starfield, like a lot of the characters are like typical Bethesda characters. They're very wooden. They're not very expressive. Then you jump right into like, let's say Cyberpunk or Baldur's Gate 3. You're like, holy shit, they're actually like super interesting looking. Like every cutscene feels, you know, emotive and stuff like that. Like the first time you meet Mizora, is it Mizora, Brad? The succubus?
Yeah.
you're like, holy shit, what is happening here, dude? Also, why does every like character have to be like ridiculously attractive in this game, dude? Shadow Heart's amazing looking.
Okay, but fuck her personality, though, is all I gotta say.
She's a little psychopath, right?
Well, she's fucking annoying as hell. I mean, if you knew her backstory, I mean,
honestly, I don't care.
But that's fucking rude. But that's also the thing too. Is like even when I saw something about Mythra, right? Like you think she's some like psychopathic general, but like if you get to her character and you get to like act three or whatever, she has like this whole, like you delve deep into her backstory and she has like a really deep, I'm like, what the fuck? Every character is deep in this game?
Redeeming.
I'm hoping Orin isn't. Dark, except redeeming. For Orin. She's the knife mommy. You'll meet her later. What's her god? The god of murder. That's like her.
Yeah.
Oh.
She's crazy looking.
Spicy.
No, that's why I told Brad. I said I can fix her, man. Like, it's cool.
I can fix her.
She can come talk to me. I can fix you.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
While she's stabbing me in the stomach.
Yeah. You're like, I talked to Bunny Girl. I can fix her.
It's fine. It's good, girl. Don't worry about it. Nothing I can't patch up with some magic. I
hate you so much.
So in Act Two, if you don't, this is a spoiler. But in Act Two, if you don't lose Shadowheart, if you actually convince her to stay, she actually she changes religions, and she becomes a blonde.
Hey,
not blonde. I think it might actually be white. It's like a platinum blonde. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, dang. Like, I thought black would go on her.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Everything looked good on her, man.
But yeah. So, and I actually really like the way, not just the way the story is built. It's the fact that there's so much content and a lot of it is just absolutely
random at times.
Well, it's missable. It's skippable. It's just, you can either roll bad and just not have it available, right? You might not see it. Like, it might just be invisible for you to, you know, to find it. You might not just go to that piece of the map, right? Like the hag house.
My God,
we completely skipped that entire section of the map. Serious? Our first playthrough.
Oh shit.
Like I said, like, I mean, you skip scratch, right? Like, you think that area would be like, you know, you just walk around, but sometimes, a lot of times what happens in gaming is that you're so used to just going on the critical path, right? And that's the same thing in Project Management, right? Yeah, you're not trying to deviate at all, that you just miss it. So like when games come and they're pretty much like, dude, you literally have options, right? You explore the world as you want to, and you approach any combat encounter as you see fit. That's why I think this game is special.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, like, same thing with Tears of the Kingdom. This reason why, like, Breath of the Wild was so critically acclaimed is because you have a golden path, right? You can literally follow objectives if you want to. But if you see that area off in the distance and you're like, I wonder what's over there, you can go to it, right? And your dialogue choices in this game matter, right? So normally in, like, a lot of RPGs, like Mass Effect and Dragon Age, remember, there was, like, there's Paragon and there's Rogue, right? Or Paragon and Renegade. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm either a good guy or a bad guy. Here it's like there's a whole gray part.
In between, yeah.
Yeah, which is fucking...
like triangle strategy.
Exactly.
It's not a circle.
It's a triangle. not a square or a rectangle.
There's good, bad, and survival.
There's good, bad, and survival, right. You know? I that was the one part I hate about triangle strategy. Love that game, but god damn it. But yeah, but in Baldur's Gate 3, it's like, everything you do is like, it's like crafted for the player to have just their own story, which is why, like, when you hear like the 17,000 endings, it's fucking real. Like, that blows my mind. So Brad left a comment on the video. He was like, I want to see how many endings we can get. Like, not all of them. Like, that's a goddamn sure, dude.
Jesus Christ.
You can, and if you're a Baldur's Gate, like, content creator, guess what? You can just make content fucking forever. Because you can just create whatever class you want. You can, like, run through, like, areas.
At least 17,000 videos.
Exactly. Jeez. You're locked the fuck in, man. You know? That's why I think this game is, like to me, like, I it took a little bit of convincing, right? Because I played the first act. And I was like, I remember being pretty good. And then I'm playing with like Brad. I'm like, I see everything kind of a different light when Brad plays it, because he's very heavy D&D. And I'm like, holy shit, Brad's making a lot of sense here. And like, he'll be like, oh, just trigger it this way. And I'm like, I would never thought about it. I would just jumped over shit. Like when we fought all the rats and stuff, like Brad killed one fucking rat. It was like,
so I had not encountered that in my main playthrough.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't think I did. That's why I'm like,
Brad, in Act Two, we were kind of like, we're in the temple. Act Two, okay. We're in the Shard Temple. And we ran into like these rats. And Brad hit fucking, was it Shatter on him? So it killed all the rats. But one rat was like, look what you did to me. And the rat was like talking and like giving like this whole exposition. And we're like, dude, we didn't kill the rat. Like there's this golem. Like, we're in this boss fight, and there was a golem that targeted the fucking rat in front of it and hit it like five times, murdering it. And
that rat
blamed us, but said, hey, come follow me anyway. Like, you know, I'm gonna give you the treasure you guys look for. Like, hey, yeah. So we followed him all the way down the temple into like the feet of the fucking, the main alt, the statue. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I warned you. Because in the video, what I did is I made it black and white. And so he's like, I warned you. I told you. And now you're going to pay. And every fucking rat like came out. And Brad's like, I have to get away. Ken, can you cast? I have like a spell that allows, like, I have all these little spirits that fly around me that do damage.
Mm-hmm.
But the rats started bringing out, like,
they told you.
Yeah, the rats that would explode and like they fall asleep and shit like that. They put you to sleep. So I was like, so we were just like fighting like, I think like 50 rats or something like that.
Yeah. But
it was
the
amazing.
Whole screen just...
It was amazing. No, it just wouldn't stop. They were like, they would just run through these holes. And
it was
just like, come
it
up.
It was literally 10 to 15 rats, probably for 6 rounds. They would just spawn in and like, they just kept.
It was the coolest fucking thing I'd ever seen in a game. Like, I was like, what is this? It's not even a main quest. It's like something random that happened.
Because, a random event triggered.
Because Brandon
said I threw them.
Yeah. He picked up one of the rats and launched it and like they exploded. Yeah. We were shocked at like some of the things that happened because it feels everything feels random. Like it feels like it's like real player empowerment, which like I said, like that organic feeling is super rare in gaming. So when it happens, I think like, you know, you can't help but just kind of be like, look, there's going to be a lot of games that are going to get like, you know, game of the year consideration. There's only really two, in my opinion, that deserve it. Right. You have two, like when The Witcher 3 first Armored Core 6, baby. when the Witcher 3 came out a couple years ago, I was like, this is probably one of the best role-playing experiences ever. Right. And then I was like, you know, there's certain things you can and couldn't do, but I was like, yeah, it was great. But I was like, then Breath of the Wild came and people were like, what the fuck? So then now there's like, when Breath of the Wild came out, they had the same expectation for other games. They're like, AAA developers have no choice but to come out with like games like Breath of the Wild. They couldn't, you know, it's just not something you could replicate. Mm-hmm. Same thing this year. Baldur's Gate 3 comes out and you play games after it. You're just like, yeah, the game's really good, you know.
But it's is it
fucking Baldur's Gate 3 good? Is it like level of rating, caliber of like voice acting? No. Like, not even the slightest. I just don't know how Larian, as an independent studio, made everything look so good. It's mind-boggling. Like, you can go into almost every building. You can, like, talk to just random characters and engage in quests that didn't... Like, dude, we went to the circus. And at first, the dude didn't want to let us in because we'd kill people. Like, it was a ghoul who was
Is that in Act 2?
It was Act 3. The ghoul's he's like, my ghoul smells your brains. And, you know, if you're violent or something, he'll let you in. So he's like, I don't like you. You smell like metal. Guy. He's like, don't come in.
He's like, you smell like piss and iron.
Yeah, you can't come in. I was like, what the fuck?
Damn. You fucking stinky.
We were able to convince him to let us in though, but then like there was some shit that was happening. We were like, what the fuck? Like Brad randomly got attacked. I just can't, you know, explain it any better than like this is probably one of the best games like of all time. It should be on that list.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very like it really did get in my top 10. Like I'm very shocked that it did. And I was like, Jesus.
No, bro. I definitely know that shit's bright as fuck. No, I mean, I could definitely see
Wikipedia.
Cause like for me, it kind of takes a lot for me to get obsessed with the game. Like, cause there's so many games out there that like I try and I'm like, oh, this this is good. But there's none that really just like captivate me other than like, you know, Persona, Dragon Age. And this is definitely one. I will just be sitting here and I'll be like, I want to play Baldur's Gate. Like, I really want to play it. Hey, like, there's not many games that can do that to me, you know?
We can play Valorant. Baldur's Gate 3 is calling you.
Fuck that. No, seriously, there'll be times where people are like, oh, you wanna play Fortnite? And I'm like, playing Baldur's Gate. I'll watch you, though.
You're like, I could do that, and I could absolutely hate myself, but why would I do that when I could just play Baldur's Gate 3? It's like slot.
The only time it has actually pissed me off was I was doing, I had gotten a nat 20 on an 18 roll for like this one part. It was like where the Baba Yaga is, like the fucking grandma and, you know, the witch lady in Act 1. And it's like when you first walk in, you're like, the narrator starts talking to you. It's like you feel something off and then you roll for it. And I got the fucking nat 20, but then my game crashed because they had an update and I never learned.
That's just rough.
What, man. You got. Because the next time I played it, I got an eight. I got a fucking eight.
Brad was literally redoing all of our inventory and the game crashed.
No, I know. I know. This shit fucking sucks. That was my one complaint. My one thing. I'm like, how the fuck are you going to have an update and just make my shit crash? Oh, I was pissed. I got off that night.
It's like shocking about, you know, like I said, just the how the game just branches so perfectly. You know, like I'm literally waiting for like a section where I can be like, you know, but even if like, let's say like Act 2 is not as strong as Act 1, Act 2 is still great. Even if Act 3 is not as great as Act 2, Act 3 is still great, it's like, dude, the whole pack, like the fact that Larian Studios could create something like this impressive as an independent studio speaks volumes to like their work, like the commitment to getting this done. Right? How the fuck?
I love how the dialogue is not is fluid, right?
Yes.
Like, when you have four options to say something, they actually like the dialogue goes in the direction that you start, you know, like they might not only might they respond differently, but like the actual conversation goes into a different direction because of your, it's not just they just have a smarky, you know,
there's a cool natural feel to it. Like when we were fucking messing with that one dude who was trying to resurrect that the dead halfling or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
He who was. And we were like, stab yourself. because essentially, you're in Act 2, Chibi. Like we're in Act 2. Uh-huh. Are you just at the beginning of it? Or are you?
I got to the camp.
Oh, okay.
And then
so,
I'm kind of exploring.
Yeah, we wandered around. And then we met, his name is He Who Was, right?
Okay, great
name.
I haven't gotten
We totally made him like, you know, made his name proud. But when you get to him, he's like, I need you to find this halfling's like, it's like a document.
Ledger. Yeah.
You find the ledger and then like you then judge the soul, which is, you know, kind of weird, kind of like a weird thing for to do because she's dead. And so as you're talking to the dude, he's like, go ahead and like, you know, judge her harshly and do that stuff. So there's a point where you can like literally have her take it. Like, how did they die? How did your friends die? There's a dark justiciar who like told him to pull out knives and start stabbing themselves. And we were like, let's have her do that. I mean, but like you're stabbing his body as that's happening, right? And Brandon goes, is this going to kill him? I was like, I guess so. And we're like stabbed him once. She's like this, and she stabs once, and we're like, okay, yeah, keep going. because he keeps stabbing himself, it like breaks his concentration. And he's like, you vile sadist.
Wait, is he just like in the wild? I want to find him.
Yeah, you'll just find him randomly. He's like, you vile sadist, and like, but he says it with a smile, and I was like, what do you mean, baby? We read the room. You told us
this is what you wanted.
You told us to. That's punish. How we. Yeah.
Yeah. You're just doing what you taught us to do.
Those types of encounters like really drive that home. And like the way you can go with the conversations that you can tell, like other forms of dialogue would probably give you like, you know, I would say like more background kind of into the character who the halfling who died and all this stuff. But it's like, dude, I just want to see us be a little chaotic. Like what happens if we tell you to stab yourself? Does he snap out of it? Which he does, but he's very upset, you know? I remember when I was doing the run, I like found like some random, what is it? like the, it's like a camp group of like absolute like followers and stuff. And I was like, who the fuck are you guys? Because I came off a mountain pass, like, oh man, like you can help us. And I was like, or I could kill you. Like I can get what I want from you, man. Like, you know, no one's gonna say anything. But it's just really funny going through stuff like when Brad found, I can't believe the spider guy, which Brad was like, oh. Once again, Brad's like randomly fucking like wandering off. And he finds like the dude, like he's just Roman. He's like, we have to stay out of the light, or something. We have to stay within the light. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that dude is the scariest looking fucking character. And
he's so fucking scary.
And it's kind of sad because he only has like that one part. I think if we didn't do the dirge, right? But it was so funny because we thought we were gonna talk to him when we walked up to him. And it's like straight up fight mode. We're like, God damn it, bro! He like jumps in between us to fight us. I'm like, dude, what the fuck?
Oh, see, that's funny because I took the other way. I completely forgot that you can do, like, go through the Underdark.
Yeah.
So I went the other way. And the other way, you, like, actually talk to him a little bit and he, like, guides you a little bit. And then you guys get into, like, a fight. And we can either, like, betray him or you can fight with him.
Very cool. Didn't know you could do that. We straight up scrapped with him. We're like, all right, cool. We're going to burn you to death.
Well, no, I ended up fighting against him because I wanted his fucking lantern. But
and then right. We're going to release the fairy in the lantern.
So there's a completely different scenario where when you save the Harpers, when you first enter the cursed land, right? And you go back to the Last Light Inn, you can talk to the Harpers and they go, hey, there's a convoy that we need to ambush, right? Mm-hmm. So where I initially encountered them in my main playthrough, you can actually tell all the Harpers to go there, and then you can have like this all-out war where you have like 10 allies in the fight, and it makes it super simple.
Well, we botched and that shit, Brad, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Well, I didn't know that fucking when Isabel, like when you're in like the Last Light Inn, like right. if Isabel gets like injured at all, or she gets knocked out, or HP goes to zero, like, dude, she's gone. Like they just like
yeah, I had to restart. I had to restart because she got knocked out.
I was like, when did she get fucking hit, dude? And we're outside fighting every Harper. Yeah. And then we found out that, like, you know, Damon? He can't die because he's fucking important to Karlach's story.
Mm.
Yeah, because he does.
That's also a thing. It's like the unexpected moments to where like the game will completely change, right? So when you talk to Isabel, there's going to be a massive fight afterward, right? Like it doesn't, there's no way of getting around that. It's going to happen. And then whether she doesn't have to die, she just has to drop to, she just has to become unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone there dies. Like that's just the thing. If you can start at the Druid camp, you can start a civil war essentially.
Yeah.
Between the refugees and the Druids, and everyone dies. Actually, me and Chris started a game, and we had only been playing in the game an hour, and he was talking to one of the bears, and I just walked up to him, and then freaking everyone started fighting everybody, and I was like, what the hell's going on?
I was editing, and when I went into like their fucking Discord screen, Chris is like, what have we done? And there's just bodies everywhere. I'm like, how the fuck did you fight the entire grove, dude? Oh, like, what? God. I was like, was this like an evil playthrough? He's like, no, dude, fucking Brad.
I literally just walked up and there was a cutscene I'd never seen before where one of the tieflings was fighting with the druids, and the druid was literally just like, and I was like, oh God. And then, literally everyone just started fighting everybody.
What the fuck? I wonder what the prerequisites for that is.
I think
step A, be a psychopath.
when you first come into the camp and they stop you at the bottom of the stairs, they tell you can't go any farther. And then eventually they're like, actually the high druid lady wants to speak to you. Mm-hmm. I think if you try to enter prematurely, everyone becomes hostile. But like before you get permission, if you try to go in there, and I think that's what happened. I think I got too close to his dialogue when he was in the middle of that sequence and just like all, you know, and once again, it was just like totally unexpected. I have never seen that before. And that was the fourth time I've started the game. Shit. And it was just like, cool.
I was gonna say,
and
it was I didn't even know you could do that.
Like, Gail, right before all that happened, Chris ran into Gail and I was trying to pickpocket Gale as they were doing their dialogue. Well,
bruh,
I failed. Gale became angry, killed Gale. Well, if you, it's another spoiler, but if you kill Gale, like an apparition shows up.
And it's like a,
it's like a pre-recorded voicemail. He's like, "Hi, I am Gale. If you were hearing this pre-recorded, whatever it is, like this ghost, he's like, if you were hearing this, I have met my untimely demise. You have 48 hours before my heart detonates. You need to take the satchel out of my breast pocket, open it up, pull the yellow string, say these words, and revive me within the 48 hours, or everything will be decimated."
Oh my god.
Yeah, yeah, Gale's a nuclear warhead. Like, just to let you know. Yeah.
No, I mean, I've kind of gotten to that a little bit, and I'm like, Jesus.
And it was like, and, you know, I've played this game for 100 hours, and I have not seen that. I was just like, what the? And it was literally 20 minutes into the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the complete package, man. I don't know what else to say about this game, dude. I didn't expect Brad to be as obsessed with it as he is, but dude, he is like hooked on this game. It is cracked to him.
So I typically don't micromanage games. Like I have, you know, in my playthrough, I have tried to be as complete as possible. I've scrounged every map. I have literally grabbed anything that is not bolted down to the ground. Like literally every piece of incense, every quill, every empty bottle, every gremlin. Bone.
No, same.
I mean,
hoarders. Like I have like a style.
Yeah.
Do you not see my room?
You got not see like this corner over here? Nothing but hairpins.
Do you not see this room?
Over here, stuff. Rope.
Hey, yo.
Am I building something with it? I just like rope, brother.
True. I do like twine.
creating his own god out of twine.
So I've got like 25,000 gold. I have like 140 magical items that I'm just hoarding back at camp.
My Alexa just started playing a song. It was very strange and I'm scared.
Oh, nice.
It's a song that goes, Aya.
What?
No, I was like, what is...
Which one of the dogs activated? They're just tired. They're tired. They're tired of the shit.
She's summoning Mazora herself.
Gotta sign that contract.
So I don't. There are very few games where it's like I want to experience. I want to see everything that is, you know. I actually want to see what I can experience in the game. In my main playthrough, I think I have like 110 hours. Just in that one campaign. Mm-hmm. And act one's a good build up. Act two is like, to me, act two is phenomenal. It's very flashy, crazy things happen and it just keeps building.
You get your mushrooms.
To bigger and bigger things. Exactly.
I had to kill. Dude, did you find him in the Underdark, the mushroom guy?
Yeah.
The little mushroom, was he? He's like the one that like tells you he wants to kill all the draws and stuff like that. And you know,
I don't think so.
Yeah. So basically we found him in our playthrough, Brad. And then I went back and I went and like, I discovered that he was going to betray me anyway. And I was like, what? I was like, I have to kill you now, dude. You were awesome. You little psychopath.
You're like, I didn't want to.
Because he has this great ability to like resurrect like dead bodies and stuff and have him fight for you. But, you know, he was like, I'm going to betray you. Like, we're going to go back there and we're going to kill, like, the other leader. I was like, nah, man, we ain't doing that shit, dude. But thanks for
yeah, you're like,
thanks for
GG's was a good run.
GG's, buddy. Cut his head off.
Act 3 is a lot more chill. Like, it's not as flashy as Act 2 is. It's much more, like, political. Pretty much all of the storylines, you know, are coming to an end. Or you're finally, you know, you're learning the real details about a lot of your companions.
I love that. Like, let's wrap it up, guys. Get the fuck over here.
but it's every quest line from Act 1 and 2, right? So like every refugee, every druid, every, you know, all the last line in people, right? They all at some point migrate to Baldur's Gate. That's kind of the whole thing, is everyone is going to Baldur's Gate.
It has to be said, games that are able to have that type of continuity is insanely impressive. Like, can you imagine? You're like, because you know how many games have like just kind of like drop threads, right? You're just like, okay, yeah, we totally forgot about that character. We'll like put DLC in or some shit. Final Fantasy 15, right? How did that character fall off the train? Who knows? Now they're blind. What the fuck? In Baldur's Gate 3, it's like, yeah, you remember that character you fucked over? He's back and he's pissed.
He's mad.
Where are my cabbages?
Where the fuck are my cabbages?
What about that ox who's like oozing? The ox is actually like a bob or whatever. Yeah.
The strange ox.
Did you find that chibi, the strange ox?
In Act 1 or 2?
Act 1.
One.
In the Grove, yeah.
It's actually in Act 1 and
in Act 2. He's in Act 2 too, yeah. When you talk, you can talk to the, you'll talk to the ox. And I'm like, because Brett was like, what the? And he's like, this ox is looking at me weird. What the fuck is going on? And I was like, the fuck? And then I rolled for it and he's like, moo. He's like, go away.
Like, fuck you.
And then, like, if you go to Last Light Inn where Damon is, right, the blacksmith, he's right there too.
Oh, shit. Okay, yeah. I'll check it out.
And then if you pester him enough, things happen. Once again, it's just like little things like that. Just there's, it's very likely that you just never never think to talk to the cow.
Yeah,
in Act 1. Like, and then if you talk to him in Act 1, you can re-talk to him in Act 2. You know, and once again, that's an ability that a lot of people probably don't even have, right? Speak to animals, right? Yeah.
Or even think every, to have, right? Because you're just like, why would you want that?
Right. Mm-hmm. Every animal has its own dialogue. Every squirrel.
We're in the circus. Cow. And Brett, like, there's the shadow twin tail or the shadow cat or whatever. Brett's like talking to it. He's like, we should let you out. And he's like, if you let me out, I'll kill everyone. We're like, what the fuck, dude? And so like Brad's like, Brad's like, let's break that. Let's like break the lock so the lock like stays in place. It's like, bam. And he's like, can't let me escape. I'm like, God damn, dude.
He's like, soon everyone will die.
And then we ended up having like, this huge fight, right? I'm not going to spoil like who we fought, but it was fucking weird. And then we go back to the cat. And he's like, you stole their debts from me. I was like, Jesus Christ.
What the fuck is with this cat?
Dude, I don't know, man. Like,
soul is in this body?
I don't know, man, but it's like super funny just kind of like going really through like random areas and then discovering like random things like happening. Like we found like another mind flare. And Brad's like, he's like, we didn't even let the thing talk because it had like an entire backstory. We just killed it. And then because Brad's becoming a mind flare, he ate the brain.
I did.
Oh.
Yeah. It was delicious.
I'm gonna have Brad like screenshot and show you his picture, how he looks now.
Okay.
He gave us so before Brad's character looked really intimidating, right? He has his hair slicked back and stuff like that. Now he has his hair down. He's wearing like what I describe as like paladin armor. Mm-hmm. He looks like a fucking holy knight, but his face is like a terror, right? It's a nightmare. It is terrifying to look at. It haunts my dreams.
I've got the random random text tattoo and it's dark red. And then because of the mind flayer thing, like my eyes are black and like there's like black tendrils going down my face.
It's a moment. It was so funny because like when the video we put out, there's like a part where like the mind flayer's like, you can show them how your companions how powerful. We're like, we'll pass. Like, like, dude, no, I don't want to look like Brad. Like Brad looks fucking horrifying. We made him put on a mask because it was like, we're like,
I don't want to look at you.
I don't. I was like, I don't want to look at you anywhere, bro. Can you put on mask, man? You're the main character talking to shit. Jesus Christ.
That's
dude.
Funny.
All right. Does anyone got anything else? Chibi, you got something you want to talk about Baldur's Gate 3? Anything that impresses you? Anything that like,
I love Asterion.
Every
day. I was actually about to ask who's everyone's favorite character.
Karlach. No, Orin. No, knife murder mommy. I love her.
I can't wait to get to her. Yeah, dude, I like Asterion. I think he's fucking hilarious.
Asterion's fucking
he's
great.
So sassy. I love it.
He's very like, he's such a I love the encounter.
Bite me
like,
anything.
Getting me like he's like trying to kill you, and you're like, it's like you tried to stab me. He's like, I didn't know you were, you know, like me. I was like, so that gave you the right to try to kill me, bro. He's like.
Well,
Oh, you know who also like Brett? I like Mizora. I like Mizora when you get to like find her again, dude. And she's so sassy about shit. She is one of the. She's fucking hilarious, dude. That's a very. There's some really funny moments with some of these characters.
She's an a-hole though. I mean, she is a succubus. So yeah. it's like she's cool, but like I would not touch her with a 10-foot pole.
Absolutely.
I actually really like Will.
What's her name?
You like, dude? A lot of people like Will, but like I heard he has.
That's
like,
okay.
He has like one of the weirdest stories too. Like if you get to if you go on the mountain pass, like you learn a lot about him.
Oh, Mizora's that age.
If you go to,
I had to look up to where she is.
If you go to the mountain pass, Chibi, like you learn a lot about Will, like his backstory, like who his family is and stuff like that.
Like his dad is whatever.
Really cool.
Archduke.
Yeah.
So it's I really like how they built out all the characters. Yeah. It's weird that feel like Gale is the weakest as far as story. He still has a cool backstory.
They make Gale kind of weird too. Like in my playthrough, like the way he like treats you is very weird. Like if like you like turn him down, right? If your character turns him down at all, he becomes very possessive. He's very
Really?
Angry. Oh yeah, he's not. Like
he did nice sleep with a god.
Yeah, so. True. He's not like a nice person at certain points, which I'm like, okay, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. No,
but like it's like that's why I like Karlach so much, because like the way she like acts about everything, especially when you get the second piece of infernal iron and you like calm her temperatures down and shit like that, where she can touch people. She's like, yes, fuck yes. But like every time, but I also feel like she's kind of like a POV character sometimes, because when something happens with, and you're just like, what the fuck? Karlach says the same shit that you're thinking. Like every time she's like, fuck no, we're not doing that. Yeah. And I'm like, yes, that's what I'm talking about, dude.
No, there was one part in Act One where, like, I forget who you meet. You meet someone, and she, like, her infernal, like, just goes crazy. So she's literally, like, on berserk mode for, like, 5 rounds after combat.
Oh, when
you see her break.
When you kill the paladins.
Yeah, yeah. When you just see her breaking shit, and I was just sitting there, like, I respect this.
And she's like, just get out of the way. And she's, like, hammering shit. Like, oh, my
God.
Yeah,
and it's just really funny. It's just, like, after combat, she's breaking shit. And I was like, okay.
Yes.
There's also the night song. Brad, you know why I like the night song. Is that Jock? Oh, is that Kobe? It's fine. There's a funny scene with the night song where she's stomping a dude. That is the best scene ever, dude.
It's like, what happened? Yeah.
The night when you find out who the night song is, it's like my favorite. Oh, okay. It is my favorite scene. Holy shit.
I'll let you know when I get
there's it. Actually a really cool in Act Three. There's a whole thing with the night song, and it's pretty dope too. Probably the hardest combat that I've had to endure so far.
Yeah, the combat gets challenging, dude, it's a lot of fun.
It's hard.
Yeah. Like when we fought the Githyanki monks, dude, what the fuck?
Dude.
They do
was
not.
Was that in Act 1 or 2?
No, this is end of Act 2. We were like, what the fuck is going on, dude? Like I wanted to play the monk class just because of them, because they were getting like 5 to 6 hits on us. And I was like, dude,
makes me so mad.
I was like, what is happening, dude? Why am I getting beat
up? Don't hit me 5 times.
Yeah, and once again, you know, this is kind of goes back to the D&D thing, but it's like a lot of scenarios are diplomatically focused. Right. Like you can resort to combat, but it's like, there are many clues that it's like you probably shouldn't fight this person unless you are woefully prepared. Like you have specifically prepped yourself for this fight. And in Act Three, it is definitely that way. Like you encounter, like they're just like, do you want to side with me or not? And you're like, no. And they're like, okay, well, you die. And then they summon like 6 things all around you that have 100 health. And you're just like, okay.
At the circus, there's a djinn there, and the djinn is like, you know, pretty much just playing this wheel game, right? Like you can like spin the wheel, and Brandon's like, I want to fight him. And this just like, because he aggroed to the djinn, and then everyone at the circus was like, they ganged up on him. Brandon's like, my bad, my
bad.
Tried to beat this shit out of me. I was like, but I was just standing still. And then I moved forward, then everyone started aggroing on us. Like, come on, man.
I turned Brandon into a sheep, and that apparently that put me in combat. And
that
I was like,
sheep was so funny, dude. That is the best thing ever. What the fuck? My God.
You and your fucking sheep.
Dude, it's dude, I love sheep. The game is so fucking chaotic. Oh shit.
You good?
All right.
Broke it.
I know. Oh, God. All right. Any questions from your chat, if they have any?
No.
We apologize for
spoiling. It is, they're sleepy today.
I know. We apologize for spoiling shit for people. So, okay. Baldur's Gate, what would you give it as a rating, even though you're not, I mean, you're 40
10
hours.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Brad, there is no scale. There is no scale for Brad, so I'm assuming game of the year instantly. There is no competition.
Just look at that man, he said.
I mean, because there's a couple of games I'm looking forward to, okay, right? I'm looking forward to, like, Alan Wake 2, which I've seen previews for it. I'm a huge fan of the first game. The second game apparently is, like, a huge step up. Spider-Man 2, that's essentially it, right? Like, Baldur's Gate 3 right now, though, is my game of the year, which, shocking.
Not Party Animals?
No. And I love Party Animals, man. I love that game.
I'm fucking with you. It's so fun.
Very, I mean, I literally thought it was like, I thought the developers from Gang Beasts worked on it because it's pretty much the fucking same thing with Party Animal skins, but you know, it's not. I think the next, I had an idea, Chibi, for your for the Down the Rabbit Hole episode for the Halloween stuff, that Junji Ito on the Netflixes, the horror anime. That's what I want to watch. That's what I want to talk about. I know, Brad. That's an instant no. So if Ry's in the chat, Ry, you can join us for that if you want to.
Oh God, I'll make him watch it in Discord. Oh, I'll tell him.
Does he not watch horror anime?
He gets scared. I don't know if he necessarily doesn't watch it, but
I don't know if it's like, it's not as scary. I mean, horror anime is like hit or miss sometimes.
But Junji Ito is pretty terrifying.
I did watch Nightmare Before Christmas. So
I'm proud of you.
I'm very proud of you. Such a strong man.
Oh, Curtis does have a question.
Go ahead.
He says, favorite random funny thing that's happened. Trying to think for. Oh, for me was it's actually on stream one time. I don't think I ever told Ken this, but it was really embarrassing. So I was going to fight Baba Yaga, and there's one part where you have to like jump. Or like go around, or you can go through the poison clouds, right? And somebody told me you can get rid of them by lighting them on fire. So I proceeded to light it on fire, and I blew myself up, and then I fell down, and it was just really embarrassing because I kept blowing myself up. So I was like, "We're not doing this
anymore." You're lying to me. This is, it's like, Chief, it's the fifth time you've done it. No, I think it's gonna work this time, guys.
That was basically what happened. I think Brandon was there, and I was like, don't fucking tell me this happened.
The most random funny thing. So I followed Brandon. It was like act two. So we're going around the woods, and I followed Brandon up. Before I followed Brandon to this part where he was like jumping across these like different chasms. So I followed him up. Before I followed him up, I found like these little enemies hiding in the bushes. And in my head, I was like, Brad is going to activate those because there's a chest like directly above it. And I was like, I'm not going to go check that out right now, but I'm going to go find out what Brandon's doing so he doesn't die. And so I go back, and me and Brandon were trying, because we saw like there's like this weird open, it looked like a cave that we could jump into. And I was like, oh, but we couldn't. So we're like, okay, whatever. And then I hear Brad go, oh no, I'm dead. And like, because he went to the chest, and then all of these shadow creatures converged and like went on him. Like, they just like straight up murdered him. So me and Brandon show up. And I had to waste like our strongest spell scroll, which was like it shot like ice arrows and created this massive.
Oh yeah, yeah, like that, right?
Ice storm.
And yeah, and my favorite thing was it pretty much killed everyone, but it knocked me too. Like all that was left was Brandon and the last enemy, and then one enemy had no health. And I was like Brandon, and Brandon was like, "I got him." So instead of just throwing something at it to kill it, he's like trying to run across, and he just slips. And he falls down and he like sits there. I'm like, I was like, you motherfucker. He goes, well, I was like, what are you gonna do, Brandon? Just end your turn. He's like, well, I'm thinking about it. And I was like, end your fucking turn. There's something interesting. Poor Brandon. Dude, we had another moment just recently that happened at that too, right, Brad? Where we're like, we were fighting enemies and then like, oh, we were fighting on the beach near the pirate ship. And like,
yes.
One of the characters that was helping us shot like an icicle, right? And like froze this area. And Brandon's like, it's like the last person, like Brandon gets up. He's like, I'm going to go get him. And he runs and he just slips.
Because it's funny because it does like flipping. It does like the Scooby Doo, you know, fall like
that's like the banana peel animation, dude. Yeah. It is the best shit ever because this has happened like 3 times to Brandon where he's like, and you could tell he's embarrassed because he doesn't say anything when it happens. Me and Brad are just laughing in the background, and he's just like, and he'll wait to end his turn. It is so funny. Brad, what about you? What's your favorite?
There was two that I can think of. Probably out of the two, when we were in the Underdark and we had splitting up. I don't know why I was by myself, but I was doing me things. But I found the forge, the grim.
That's
dark
right.
Forge.
That's right.
And I found the molds that you needed, and I found the material, whatever it was, mithril. I think it was mithril that you needed. So I found the forge. So I jumped down the staircase, and then like I was setting the forge up, and so I put the mold in the little container thing, and I put the mithril in the furnace, and then I hit the hammer, and it was like, and like slammed it down, and it was like, what you need to do is you need to activate the lava control system thing. So I walked over and turned it on, and when I turned it on, it started a cutscene, and like it showed the large pipe and the grate, mm-hmm. and like you see these like two beady red eyes glow from the pipe, and I was like, guys, do not look on my screen, guys, just don't look, stop.
I was so fucking mad because we had just got done with like a pretty big fight, and then we were debating about where to go next. And so me and Brandon were just kind of sitting there, and all I see is like the icon of the ear appear.
Yeah.
I was like, what did you do? And he's like, don't look. And there's this big fucking golem. And I was like, you're such a dumbass.
This large metal construct comes out of the pipe and has like 300 health and resistant to everything. And I was like, my God.
I was so fucking mad, dude. I was so
like,
mad. All
right, I gotta go.
I was so mad when he did it because it was so rare. I was like, what is this, dude?
I was just trying to make I figured, you know, if you found the mold and you found the minerals, you just add them together and you get a cool piece of equipment. No, apparently it spawns a boss fight.
That's what you get for being curious.
That is true. That is true.
Brad is the cat.
He is. Anything else?
With this.
No. The other moment when we were in the goblin camp. And I was talking to the priestess goblin lady, and we got into the fight with her, and somehow it like aggroed all the people in that main area, and it would just ended up being me alive. I don't know how everyone else died, but I had a scroll of gas form, so I turned into gas, and like I went through this little crevice into a locked room. Mm-hmm. There was like an opening in the wall, and I went through the opening room. That room was filled with explosives. I didn't realize it, but the door was locked on the other way. Like, yeah. That was the reason why the door was locked. So I didn't think they would know I was in there because I went through a wall into another room. They just opened the door, shot one of the explosives, and just obliterated everything in that room. And it was just an instant game over. And I was like, that was the one thing I did not expect to happen.
Yeah.
They literally just opened the door and was just like, it's like, well, shit. Okay then.
Wait, that worked well with your thing when you went.
that's what it looked like too. That's what. That's my body parts just flying around everywhere.
Oh god!
Oh my god!
That's funny. I wish I could have saw that.
All right. Anything else?
No, sir.
We're good. Perfect. All right. Yeah. So next episode down the rabbit hole, we're gonna do Junji Ito.
Right, Rai. Yeah, Rai's gonna watch
it. Yeah,
there
we go.
Get ready.
So don't worry about it, Brad. And then we're gonna try to
He's gonna go wolf.
Some playthroughs of like some horror games. We'll do Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Do you want to do Outlast Trials, Brad? Yeah, you can see Outlast Trials. And then I know Chibi, like the last time, like it was hard for you. You had a couple moments where I was like, is she gonna have a heart attack or something? Because you were like,
I'll panicking. Do it, but like,
well, I know Jack I'll can't. Panic. So I know Jack can't. He said he said this week, but I do want to get like some before you guys leave, at least two, so we can have them up.
Yeah,
and then when's our next community play? What are we playing? We do more party animals?
Oh, so this Saturday, remember, we're doing the beta test for that game.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. How many and keys? That one's going to... Three. I have three keys. So mine and two others.
Well, Jack won't... Well, he's not going to be there. So Brad, you're up, bitch.
Yes, I was chosen. It's going to be during my subathon, probably. Okay. But...
Yeah, just tell me what time, you know.
I mean, he said we can do it between 7 and 11 p.m. Eastern. So...
Okay. Yeah.
That's about like normal time for us.
Let me know the time and then we'll post it. We'll try to make sure that we have good recordings on each POV.
Sorry. I'll try and have my audio nice.
Try to have like more party animal stuff too. This shit is that's so much fun.
We can definitely run it. I was thinking about doing it again like during the subathon. So. Yeah.
So for the community stuff, if you guys are a part of the party animal stream, Jock, Curtis, are you guys like, it's coming out Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, which is like what, 12? Eastern, so yeah, that took a long time. Mm-hmm. So fucking watch.
I'm sorry,
that took a long time to edit. Oh my god,
nice. It's me. I'm the problem.
If there's anyone in chat that wants Party Animals, just fucking hit me up in Discord. I'll buy you the game. Two copies. I'll buy only two.
Oh,
copies.
Nice.
Damn, you should do like a giveaway.
Hey, can you buy me the game?
No, you have it, Brad. What are you talking about? So if there's anyone in your chat, anyone in your Discord community that wants Party Animals, two copies, right? Just message me in Discord. Let Chibi decide.
What the fuck? Chibi, these people hit me up. Who you want to give a copy to? Yeah. I'm like,
which one of your minions do you think would play the game?
What the fuck? I've convinced most of the minions to get it. So
yeah, just like if they haven't bought it yet, they hit me up and I'll buy you a copy. All right.
Wow, he's so
speaking scary. Of early access, Sega canceled Hyenas, which I thought was super weird.
Which, by the way, I played an early access part of it like 2 weeks ago before they canceled the game.
Yeah,
which is crazy because I received like an email for feedback and they're like, hey, come talk about Hyenas. I was like, yeah, great. And then it was like, hey, we canceled the game. I was like, well, fuck, man. Was it because of me, bro? Like,
I played two different closed betas for it. And I mean, it was okay.
It was solid. I mean,
yeah.
JK, we canceled.
Yeah, we JK, go fuck yourself.
I was like, well, okay, then.
Yeah, I was bad. Sega. Only playing for the Yakuza games, people. Okay, anything else, anybody?
I don't think so.
No. We will talk to you next time. Remember, Brad, because this is pretty much your episode, go ahead and do the send-off. Oh that is terrifying.
He's back. Oh, my God, he's back.
Put the mask on. Put the mask back on, please.
Back.
It was me the whole time.
Old man Jenkins.
Cthulhu.
Oh, if you guys want to play a good mystery thriller, like horror game, Killer Frequency, it's on fucking Steam for like $25. That game is awesome. Love that game. Anyway,
sorry, Ray said, imagine if he shows his groupers again.
How much? Like how many subs are we looking at? Right? Oh my how God. Many subs? How many subs can we get see right now? If we're gonna show Brad's feet. Let's go.
I gotta find some Cthulhu socks.
10 gift subs, and Brad shows his feet.
Thanks for coming. Have a great rest of your
day. All right, everyone, thanks for watching. You know, talk to you next time.